and those trails are getting over 2 million users a year.
Wow.
So you can see just how popular, you know, what started as a bunch of guys out scratching in the dirt, trying to create just a few more miles of trail, what that is now, you know, how big it really is.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 180 of Life in Motion. I've got Clark with me from RVA Moore. They built over 75 miles in the Richmond area of trails, while also helping others get outside. I'm also thrilled to announce that RVA Moore is December's nonprofit partner, which means 20% of all online sales at Illumin Collect this month will be donated to support their mission. I'm excited to learn about their impact and what the community collection means to them. Clark, thanks for being on the show today.
You're welcome, Jeremy. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited to have you all, and I'm excited to partner with you all this month as well. And I think it was a couple of years ago, it was Lilo and John, I believe. I stumbled upon RVA Moore, ironically, after I left the Virginia area, but really love what you're doing. So I'm excited for this opportunity to partner with you all in this way as well. So, but before we kind of get into all that you do and all you all have been doing for the area, let's kind of give a brief little story of, you know, kind of how, I guess, your journey into the outdoors and then ultimately how you got involved with RVA Moore.
Well, I am a local Richmond, Virginia native and grew up a block away from what's called the Pony Pasture area of the James River. And so basically, I've just been playing in the outdoors most of my life. Started riding mountain bikes back in the early 80s. And then just slowly over time, as mountain biking eventually evolved, got involved with some guys just volunteering to try to help create more miles of trail. And that started in the 90s, kind of mid to late 90s, working with some guys down in the James River Park system on both sides of the river and just trying to create, like I said, mountain bikers are always looking for more miles of trail. So, And that's what it was. A couple guys out scratching in the dirt, trying to create more trails to ride.
Yeah.
That was really the impetus of it, was a few friends of mine were already out in the James River Park system, working on, you know, using public land up and down each side of the river, and trying to join together maybe fish trails and things like that that already existed, and create a loop on both sides of the river that you could ride or walk or hike or bird watch or, you know, trail run, any number of things. And I saw these guys doing that and was already, had been a mountain biker for a number of years and, just wanted to join in. And so we would spend our Saturdays, you know, out there scratching in the dirt with the approval of the James River Park system manager at the time, which was Ralph White, but eventually became one of our close riding buddies, Nathan Burrell, who eventually took over, you know, for Ralph White when he retired and became the parks manager. And so through his direction and approval, we linked together and built a system of trails that all connected and created, I think it was in the neighborhood of an 8 to 10 mile loop up and down each side of the river, linking it together using an island and one of the bridges, the Nickel Bridge. And just got together with a bunch of guys that were already really passionate about it and started helping do that, which is some of the same stuff I did as a kid here, just growing up by the river, building trails, fishing, doing stuff like that. And it just really appealed to me. And here I am at 62, almost 63 tomorrow, years of age, where I still enjoy doing it. So,
Yeah.
And that's kind of what did it for me. You know, I was hooked at that point and really like enjoy building and maintaining and advocating for trails as much as I do riding them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the Richmond area is, you know, it's outdoors is kind of diverse, as you mentioned. There's plenty to explore. And then, of course, you got the city and everything as well. I feel like it's a good mix there. And then, you know, it's cool, you know, over the years, you've been staying involved with that and kind of how that all kind of progressed as well. So, you know, it sounds like really, you know, everything started very, very grassroots, you know, friends kind of getting together, building trails, making more miles and finding new stuff to ride that way. So when you, I guess when that kind of started, like, or I guess the very kind of beginning, or when that, you know, you started making that 8-10 mile loop and everything like that, was the city and the parks, were they pretty on board with, hey, you know, we have volunteers that are out here that want to make these places that are accessible not only for bikers, but as you mentioned, all the other people that are trying to get outdoors. What was that kind of like, that transition?
Well, initially it was a little rough because, you know, if you go and you think back to that period in time, like mountain biking really had not come into its own.
Yeah.
So to be out on public land and digging in the dirt and creating trails, people really weren't too sure of what was going on. You know, there's this, you know, and I use this loosely, there's this rogue band of guys out there doing something in the woods, and we're not quite sure what they're doing, you know? And a lot of the guys had already been doing it, before me. So I just kind of joined in with them because they needed more horsepower. We didn't have a whole lot of machines or anything. I mean, even the tools that were used then versus now were pretty primitive as far as trail tools. And, so initially they were a bit, park management and stuff like that was a bit skeptical and very unsure of what we were doing. But, once Nathan Burrell got involved, a little younger, more progressive mentality towards this, and he just had a pretty good vision on like where this could go as far as serving the community, because the trails we built in James River Park system are multi-use trails. So even though it's kind of an overzealous group of mountain bikers that want more mileage, the trail itself has to be used, you know, obviously for the community at large. I mean, so again, it's hikers, runners, walkers, bikers, it's the whole community as a collective whole that ends up able to use that. And eventually they just saw the value of this once we started building trails and different pieces of trail that maybe were already there, were starting to get linked up together. And you start seeing the sheer numbers of people that are starting to participate and helping coming out and build these trails with us. And then also the users, the people that saw this and were like, wow. And the James River Park system, the beauty of it, it's such a jewel because it's right in the heart of downtown Richmond. So you can be riding or walking or running a trail and looking up at a skyscraper, although you feel like you're out in the country, you know. So it's a very unique and very beautiful kind of mix of like city right in the heart of the city versus really cool nature and everything that goes on around a major artery like the James River, and having trails that run up and down each side of it and out onto an island of it. You know, it's not a type of trail system that you run across every day. So eventually, you know, the city came around and they realized like this could really be something that these guys are doing. And they started supporting it, you know, and through a lot of the effort and communication of Nathan Burrell and just people starting to really take a positive interest in it, I think is what really was a lot of the impetus to its acceptance as a viable, valuable resource for the city.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool, you know, that they saw that value. And of course, that's kind of grown obviously over the years, which is great. So, you know, as you know, you mentioned one thing, obviously, you know, it kind of started as a small group that, you know, just super passionate about getting trails, and then it kind of expanded into the parks and city and everything like that from a multi-use perspective, from their perspective and everything like that. Was, I guess, the growth of the organization as far as like the volunteers and everything go, was that a lot of just people maybe seeing you all doing work out there and being curious what was going on, and then like, oh, this is cool, can I help out? Or like, what, I guess, how did that growth happen? Because I know like on the website it's like, and I'm sure this, not all of the volunteer hours have been able to been tracked either, but it's like 12,000 or some, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's between 15 and 20,000 hours since we started. Well, you know, it's like a lot of things, it starts as kind of a loose band of brothers, right? And sisters. And some of those folks that were actually on it before I really started becoming passionate, they saw, for example, RVA Moore is the offspring of a group out of DC called Moore. And Moore stands for Mid-Atlantic Off-Road Enthusiast. And so there was a group of guys that approached Moore and said, we'd like to be, as a parent group, you know, we'd like to start a chapter. And so that gave some organization to this kind of loose band of people that are out in the world wanting to build more trail, who are also passionate about riding mountain bikes and stuff like that. So they got in touch with Moore out of DC, and that's where, and that was around 2005, and we became Richmond Moore. And so Richmond Moore then had some structure to try to raise, you know, because Richmond Moore is a 501c3, it's a nonprofit. And that gave some structure to being able to raise funds to buy tools and equipment and put on events that advocate for what, you know, the trails were all about, and gave a group of people as a way to bring in volunteers and say, well, if you want to volunteer, we can now start, you come out on this day, it would give a place to post work days, and it would allow people to come out and, you know, bring some water and sturdy shoes and gloves, and we'll supply you with the tools. And that's kind of the way it went as far as that. And then eventually Richmond Moore became a chapter of EMBA, which is a much larger advocacy group that's a worldwide advocacy group. EMBA stands for International Mountain Bike Association. So I think in like 2013 or so, we became a chapter of EMBA. And again, all of these groups are nonprofits. So, you know, we exist primarily through the efforts of the grassroots crowd. It's the donations, the corporations that see us as a viable entity within the community to help put down something as simple as trails that actually have created a pretty big, thriving outdoor movement within Richmond. I mean, because if you think about it, Richmond was a tobacco town, and now it's known as an outdoor destination type town because you have the James River, which has rafting, and it's a migratory route for birds and things like that. It's the mountain biking is good here for the flatlands, basically. But, you know, it one thing can kind of tend to be the accelerator for all the other things. And I think that I'm proud to say with a lot of other people that, you know, the building of the trails in and around the river was the original accelerator that helped kind of spark this whole outdoor movement that now exists today. And, you know, the trails that we built down there that we started with back in late 90s, early 2000s, those trails now, we have trail counters that RVA Moore supplies the city. And those trails are getting over 2 million users a year.
Wow.
So you can see just how popular, you know, what started as a bunch of guys out scratching in the dirt, trying to create just a few more miles of trail, what that is now, you know, how big it really is.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, I always call the James River Park system the golden goose that laid the golden egg, you know, and that golden goose, you know, eventually is what led to, you know, all of what we have like out in Pocahontas State Park nowadays, where we have a great trail system there as well. And some trails out in the west end of Richmond with like Leakes Mill, and out at the scout camp, Camp Brady Saunders. And, you know, there's trails out in Dory Park in the east end. So, you know, the golden goose laid the golden egg, and all of a sudden all these other things start happening over the years as well. So,
yeah,
it's been a cool thing to be a part of for sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, kind of you all being the catalyst to that that movement, the outdoor movement in that sense, to kind of lay the groundwork of like not just the mountain bike scene, but the rest of the outdoors and all that kind of stuff has seemed to really blossom, which is great. And not only that, you know, there's a hidden or maybe unquantifiable kind of benefits to those 2 million people or whatever that are getting out there throughout the year. You know, they're able to go outside to reset from work or family or stress, yeah, or whatever that is. But, you know, as we all know, getting outside and getting some fresh air, unplugging for a little while is great for everybody. So it's cool to see kind of that, how that ripple effect has kind of taken over. And then not to mention how the footprint has expanded, because I know, you know, it's over 75 miles of trail or whatnot, and that's hard work to get all that done, organize, see where those paths and trails are going. Where, I guess, what is kind of the next kind of, I guess, iteration? Is there still kind of focusing on just expanding some of those current trails, or kind of what is the, you know, the future look like as far as the trail building goes?
Well, a lot of the trail systems now, the James River Park system, the Pocahontas State Park system, I can't speak for Leakes Mill, because Bob Wheatley, who headed up that effort out there, I don't know if they have more land to work with. A lot of them now, you can add little pieces here and there, but for the most part, they're built out. Over the years, you'll see reroutes and maybe additional pieces of land come into play that you can add on to. But collectively, most of the systems are built out. You know, there will be additional features added to a lot of the trails over time. You know, things need to be rerouted. The city itself has different little pieces of land that are coming into play that are becoming available. And so you'll see little segments and things here and there that will actually serve as, rather than big new pieces of trail, they'll serve as connective pieces that can then link to other pieces of trail system that were maybe separate from the original system, and therefore create bigger, longer connected rides as a whole. So that's probably what you'll see more of than anything, is connectivity happening over time. And you're seeing that more from a paved trail stance, as far as like the Capitol Trail and the new Ashland to Petersburg trail that they're making. These are all like paved trails that can be used by a very large user group. And when those trails, those paved systems are built, you can then have connectivity through greenways and other trail systems that hook up to those. So that would allow much more of a network of trails that you could ride your bike, say, on hardscape to get two more trails. I think you're going to see a whole lot of that as it unfolds over the next probably 5 years or so.
Yeah. And that's great. That's a good point. Kind of the multi-surface trails kind of working together in that way to build the footprint. And then obviously the maintaining and finding the new opportunities as they come up, which is great. So, you know, it sounds like obviously a lot of this was, you know, it started super grassroots. Then you got involved with you know, the city and the parks and everything else. And then of course, you know, now that everything, or once kind of everything switched over to RBA Moore and everything getting in with the organizations, you know, fundraising and working with other corporate partners and whatnot, what does that kind of support kind of mean to your organization to continue that, you know, continue to maintain, continue to add on, reroute, you know, whatever that might be? You know, I guess, yeah, what does that mean for an organization that's still, you know, kind of, I'm sure, grassroots at its heart?
Well, absolutely. We definitely are grassroots, and we rely hugely on volunteerism, on, you know, different corporations that choose to get involved, and just help with a much more green mentality towards getting people out and trying to get their own employees out and get involved in the outdoors, because for them, there's a huge benefit too. It helps show that they support, you know, the outdoors and the environment. And it also helps keep their employers healthier.
Yeah.
And if their employees are healthier, then they're probably happier in their job, and they're not missing as many days from being sick and whatnot. So there's a trickle down effect from all of this. But, you know, we've had a ton of people and a ton of organizations and a ton of corporations that have supported us over all these years. And we absolutely could not do what we've done or what we currently do without the support of volunteers, parks and government, corporations that have gotten involved. We have, you know, Virginia Dominion Power and Altria and UPS and REI. And I know I'll leave some people out in that, but there's a lot more. And all these groups have been right there with us over many, many years, helping support. We've got both the JRPS and you know, I work out at Pocahontas as the trail manager or coordinator out there. And both of us in these two different groups, the amount of volunteerism that we both have and rely on is huge. And like I tell people, you know, they'll say, well, you have just the greatest job in the world. You get to come out and build trails. And I do, but I could not do it myself. So I tell them I'm just the lucky guy that gets to help head the whole thing up. And like I said, we just can't thank and stress enough how all of that community engagement is what's helped create what you see in the Richmond area as far as trails now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool to hear kind of, you know, everybody's, you know, the different types of companies, organizations, everything else kind of getting behind that for, you know, different reasons, whether it's employee or just they enjoy the outdoors or whatever that might be. And so, yeah, we're definitely excited to support you all this month as well to kind of help with that. So, you know, guys, as I mentioned before, or in the beginning, you know, you can check out alumincollect.com to get some limited edition gear with them that donates back 20% of each sale. So I'm definitely excited for this collaboration. But to that point, where can people find you online to learn more if they're in the area, get involved, donate, kind of all of the above?
Well, RVA Moore. .org is the address that they can go to join or look for trail work days. And when you join RVA Moore, it's only $39 a year. You also become an IMBA member as well, because we're their chapter. So $39 a year will get you membership to IMBA and also RVA Moore. We work very closely with like Friends of Pocahontas State Park. You know, I worked for probably 15 or so years with all the guys and everybody downtown on the James River Park trails. And then eventually was offered an opportunity to come help and do what we've done out in Pocahontas. And so the Friends of Pocahontas is huge. They're a nonprofit that is like a right arm of the Pocahontas State Park. And So you can go there. These are different ways that you can find the trail work days that we have. Friends of Pocahontas has a meetup group that we usually post up. RVA Moore will post up our work days on our Facebook and Instagram pages. And, you know, those are the two main avenues that I try to steer people towards to read about what we're part of here. If you like what we do, we definitely ask that you get involved. The resources that we collect as a nonprofit, we try to put right back into and on the ground of the trails. We have, over the years, we've collected a pretty good collection of machines and tools. And I mean, we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of, we've got an excavator, trail dozers, walk behind tracked haulers. We've got chainsaws and all every type of trail tool imaginable. And those things wear out. And we have to replace it with new stuff. And we have to maintain equipment and whatnot. And so a lot of the dollars that are collected through membership and just through donations, they go right back. We try to put them right back into the trails themselves. We do things like we have different events that we put on, not a whole lot, but we put on some events throughout the course of a year that help raise money that also puts it back. We just got through with an event that we do called Tour de Fall Line, which is a 14, a 28, or a 50-mile ride that you can do that's supported by RVA Moore that just allows you to explore the whole James River Basin trails. And it's supported with, you know, a meal and a beverage afterwards with your ticket that you buy. And that money from that type of event goes right back into the system. And, you know, and that's what we live and die by is that, is volunteerism and people choosing to get involved and share whatever resources they can. You know, I tell people, you don't always have to be a trail worker to help the overall effort, and that is share your resources, whatever they may be. We've had a lot of people that work for companies over the years that have something within their company that they can do or they can supply us with that can provide, you know, another extra benefit to the trails. People that work for a sign company that maybe help make some signage for us. People that work for equipment companies that can come out and work on equipment for us, you know, in a way that where they're not charging us for it. They're just, I could go on and on. I can talk a lot about this stuff, but there's so many ways, and all of this stuff actually just helps the overall effort to keep trails built and maintained and hopefully everybody happily moving along on the trails.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And everyone definitely make sure you check out. There's a lot to learn and lots to get or many ways to get involved, volunteering, donations, in-kind stuff, definitely. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, it's helping the entire community, not just that from multiple different angles, which is great. But Clark, I appreciate you coming on to kind of share your story and how kind of everything got started. And of course, also the impact that you all are having. And I can't wait to see where it goes.
You bet. Thank you, Jeremy, for having me. I really enjoyed it. And we appreciate you guys getting involved with us, too.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you've made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.